Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is excellent. How's the course playing?
Daniel Berger.
How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
The Sir Mix-a-Lot Hawk remix. Put him on the glass. We are live. We are at AT&T Stadium in Dallas this Saturday. Thrilling matchup between two consensus top pound-for-pound fighters. You've got welterweight world champion Errol Spence and four-division world champion Mikey Garcia. You don't want to miss this pay-per-view. It is Saturday night. We're here in Dallas, courtesy of our friends at Fox Sports Pay-Per-View, and we're having a great time. Great view of the football field here at AT&T Stadium, and pretty cool location to be doing the show. Omar Kelly is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel, and I think the Dolphins at AT&T Stadium this season, this coming
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so
yes,
I guess
I'm trying
Omar
to go to that. It's a Thanksgiving game, it was reported.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so I guess Omar will probably be here. Have you been at the stadium yet, Omar?
Yeah, it looks like a mall.
It's crazy, right?
It's big. It's huge.
Yeah, really nice views from everywhere, though. They're setting up the boxing ring at midfield.
Not nice views because I got to use binoculars to actually look at the players on the field.
You're talking about from the press box?
Yeah, oh yeah, we're way at the top. You look at the top of the stadium. That's where our view is, the corner top.
Oh, but or, you got a 60 yard TV screen though. That should be enough,
you're
right?
Correct. Yes, you're correct. But if that was the case, I'd watch it from home. Oh, like watching a TV with audience noise.
That's why I watch all the games at home. I love checking it out on TV. All right, you got to bring us up to date, Omar, on what's going on with the Miami Dolphins, because there's so many questions, first off, about the quarterback position. They maybe were interested in Tyrod Taylor, but they don't get him, and maybe they were interested in Teddy Bridgewater, and then it seems as if he's staying in New Orleans, but now they hosted him last night. What's the latest on the Dolphins' QB situation?
Latest is Tyrod Taylor decided not to accept their offer and took an offer for more money to be the backup to the Chargers. Teddy Bridgewater, he initially said no at the money that they were offering. Then they got him to come back to the table, sit down with the organization and meet with them. Teddy Bridgewater, from what I'm told, really, really, really wants to be the Miami Dolphins quarterback. He doesn't need any promises or guarantees. He just wants to play and have the opportunity to play for his hometown team. This is a team he grew up loving. However, the Dolphins aren't offering him a contract that, you know, basically he'd be taking a $2 million pay cut to be the Miami Dolphins starting quarterback comparatively to what New Orleans is offering him to be a backup. And Miami is in a position where they control a lot of the leverage. Well, they don't need to overpay, and I'm proud of them for doing it, because at some point some team is going to have to say, hey, we got to stop overpaying for these quarterbacks. And they've offered him what I feel is he could be slightly sweetened, but is relatively a fair contract. And if he accepts it, I'd be surprised. But, you know, there's only 32 starting spots in the NFL. If you want one, you got to make a sacrifice.
If he doesn't take it, is there any chance that Ryan Tannehill is a starting quarterback next season?
I don't think so. Here's the thing. What people don't understand is that there is no rush to release him because you're not getting the cap space immediately. You're going to get the cap space on June 1st, which means basically you're going to only be able to sign your rookies and then have cap carryover for next year. So you're not going to get an immediate cap space. And right now, you know, you never know whose quarterback gets hurt. Maybe you could sit on and trade Ryan Tannehill. I don't know what's really going on. I just know that Ryan Tannehill would not be playing for the Miami Dolphins for that salary. It's not going to happen. Now, whether or not he will revisit his contract and change the numbers, I don't know. But I also know that his players don't, the players on the team don't want him to be their starting quarterback.
And all that was my question, too, because like you say, maybe they're waiting. We talked a little bit about it. Maybe they're waiting for OTAs, minicamp, somebody tears their knee up. But Foles is moved. Bortles is cut. Keenum is moved. Bridgewater's talking. Like, every other quarterback out there is doing something, talking or being talked about.
Yeah.
You don't hear anything about Ryan Tannehill on any network, on any newspaper, TV station. Like, Tannehill doesn't even exist right now.
Because nobody wants him. And that's just even Ian Rappaport, who I've got respect for, but he put out something that, you know, Jeff Ireland and his relationship with Ryan Tannehill, you know, if Bridgewater goes to Miami, then Tannehill could go to New Orleans. Oh, the hell he can. Jeff Ireland is like, that dude got me fired. So, no, he's not going to New Orleans. You know, I could see from what I've heard, there's talk of Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, and Carolina for Ryan Tannehill. There are teams that have interest, but not for like real money, like what he's making. And certainly nobody's trading for him. Now, if they do pull off a trade, Chris Greer might be front runner for executive of the year.
And one with Teddy, because something else me and Hawk talked about off air, a better situation, though. You're making more money being the heir apparent to Drew Brees,
yeah,
a successful offense, Sean Payton, proven success, or you come to Miami knowing that you might be a gap guy for less money. It seems like staying in New Orleans as a backup is better for his career.
I can hear what your argument that you're making, but I will say this to counter it. Do you see yourself as a backup? Do you view yourself as a backup? You only get so many. Once you go into that backup lane, you never get out. You rarely ever get out. You know. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick is. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh McCown. Those are the only guys that I've seen tap dance in and out of the backup lane. Once you're in the backup lane, and it's a pretty great lane considering Matt Moore made $27 million throughout his career. Once you're in the backup lane, it's all gravy. But when you're in it, there's no getting out. And let's look at it from Teddy Bridgewater's mindset. Let's say he has one great year. Let's just talk fantasy and say he leads the Dolphins to a 10-win season with this roster. Yeah, laugh now. And you know, comes back to the table. You're coming back to the table at $18 to $20 million a year, probably 2 years guaranteed, $40 million. You know, you're taking a gamble on yourself. You know, that's why he would take the Miami job if he truly believes that, hey, I'm an NFL starter. I have talents and capabilities that people are not, you know, giving me the opportunity to showcase. And you know, he might believe that. There's nothing in his mind that should tell him anything otherwise, because he, you know, everybody's generally got confidence in themselves. Did you, Shannon, tell yourself that I couldn't cover Dallas Clark or Jason Witten? No, you said I got this, right?
It's we talked about this at lunch that me and Hawk were. While I was playing, I would never admit I wasn't Ray Lewis or Brian Urlacher. It took me to retire to really look back and see. But every single year during the offseason, my next year was my all-pro year. The next year was my all-pro year. And then I retired, sat back, and looked, and I was like, man, that damn Ray Lewis was a beast. I was never as good as damn Ray.
You were pretty decent. Best linebacker the Dolphins have had. Well, actually, Carlos Anthony kicked your tail a little bit. But
man. No, I taught him everything he knows.
But certainly, nobody's touching you on the roster now. Well, Kiko's kind of a little bit better. Kiko makes plays.
He don't like to hit people too much.
It's a good question. Who's a better linebacker, Kiko Alonso or Channing Crowder?
Kiko, easily.
Oh. Kiko,
who in the hell you gonna butt in and yell like you know something about something? What the hell wrong with you, boy?
I thought he was asking me.
Dude was sleeping for 2 hours and 11 minutes on this show. He sprang to life.
I thought that was God talking the way he jumped in.
Kiko, for sure.
Kiko Alonso. Testing. Kiko Alonso.
He has one or two more interceptions than me.
That was funny, man. Hey, you mentioned, you talk about the roster, Omar, and then you said, you know, get ready to laugh right now or whatnot. Do the Dolphins right now on paper have the worst roster in the NFL?
I don't even think it's debatable.
Right.
there are only the way I look at the roster, there's only one position that I'm comfortable with, and that's safety. You've got three starters. Everything else, your offensive line is bad, your defensive line is bad, your linebackers are a misfitting unit. You're probably about too shy on that. Your cornerbacks, you just signed Eric Rowe, so that maybe helps you depending on how Cordarrelle Tankersley comes back. Your tight ends, okay, you added two guys recently. And
are they going to line up 10 tight ends on every offensive possession?
That was my next question. We have 100 damn tight ends.
If you watched the two on the roster that were drafted in the first in last year, you'd realize why there's so many tight ends on it. One can block, can't really run and get open, and the other definitely cannot block and really is kind of soft to get off coverage.
Yeah, so, when he does catch the ball, they dump him on his head every time. Every time Micah Seki gets hit, he gets dumped on top of his head. Nobody can't teach him to not get dumped on his head.
The problem, Micah Seki, and nobody will own up to it, is the fact that he does not like physicality of football. And that's the number one reason you shouldn't have drafted him.
Doesn't like physical and plays football. He should have stayed with that volleyball career, I think. They said he was a hell of a volleyball player.
Yeah, he came for the money and he got the money, and you know, somebody. I wish him the best of luck, but I've been doing this a long time, and you got to be physical to play football. It's just people going to punch you in the mouth every day. If you don't like it, it's not going to last long.
And speaking of that physicality, I know you're a big trenches guy. People don't like to talk about it, but I know you break it down. You really, you know, you understand what it means of football. Our trenches are getting very weak as the days go on. Are they going to address it in the draft? What's going to happen? Because Juwan left. They moved Andre. They're trying to move Quinn. They already moved Cam Wake. Like, what's going on in these trenches?
Yes, no doubt about it. I expect them to address the defensive line in the draft. Offensive line, they might just try to patch it with some old veterans later on in the process in free agency. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jesse Davis moves to right tackle. And then you elevate Isaac Asiata, have him play right guard. They are, you gotta make compromises when you're trying to rebuild. So you can't address everything one season. So I don't know what they're gonna do with the offensive line. There are some veteran offensive linemen out there. One got cut by the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. They could easily patch up their offensive line if they want to use the money for it. But I think it's a wise investment. You give that guy Ryan Schrader, you give him a 3-year, $18 million deal, but it really depends on how comfortable they feel that they can address it in the draft or whether or not they feel confident in Isaac Asiata and what Jesse Davis can do.
And see if you agree with me on this, because we were talking about the O-line, the trenches, especially the O-line, and I said it's the second biggest position if you want to tank. It's the quarterback, and then if you don't get an offensive line to protect whoever's back there, that's the second easiest way to tank a season is to have a terrible O-line.
Or not be able to stop the run or pressure the quarterback. But, yes.
Yeah.
Right. They got the formula. They got the formula right now. But now there's a contender. Now there's another tank contender now.
New York.
The Giants are coming out the block we got our sights on Tua. So now – you know, that matchup between the Dolphins and the Giants, that's gonna be the Tua Bowl right there.
It'll be fun to watch, or maybe the opposite.
I was gonna say racing for terrible. I've never heard that.
Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel, yeah, read his work.
You was on that Suck for Luck team. You was on that Suck for Luck team, Shannon.
Yeah, except they didn't pull the trigger on it.
I was on 07. We weren't trying to lose, so I don't even know how it feels to lose like that. We were trying to win in 07.
Yeah, 07 was 07. That was just a bad. That was a lot of injuries. That team wasn't that bad. But you know, when you got Rodrigue Wright and I don't even remember the linebackers that replaced you and Zach Thomas. Good God, that was some horrible football.
Yeah.
Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel. Read his work, sunsentinel.com.
Rodrigue Wright. Some of them names make you laugh. Yeah.
Oh, it was a Syracuse linebacker to replace you. Oh, my God. What is his name?
Kelvin Smith.
Kelvin Smith. There you go.
Yeah. Ed Miles, Kelvin Smith, A.J. Eads, Ed Miles. I remember everybody brought him to take my job, Nobody could do it. Until Carlos's big ass. Until Carlos came in.
Oh, Pope. Derek
Pope.
Derek Pope.
Was it Derek Pope?
It was okay. Derek Pope. I remember he – and it was funny. One game we're going in, he was the backup middle linebacker, and I just got an injury. And George Edwards, he was like, how do you feel, crowd? It was Friday after practice. I said, I'm about 75, 80, maybe next week. He said, you're at 80. I said, yes, sir. He said, your 80 is better than his 100. You're starting on Sunday. And that's when I knew. I was like, how good is this guy? I was still young. I didn't know the system at that time. But I remember that was my Derek Pope story with George Edwards, who is now the D.C. at Minnesota.
Yeah, man. It's funny how long I've been in this game and watching all these guys. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals head coach, man, if you would have told me to name every assistant that I thought could possibly become a head coach, I wouldn't have named him. He would have been the last person I named, and now he's a head coach. That's why I think they're on the tank for Tua train, too.
Never know. You never know how someone's going to be as a coach. Just look at Nick Saban. Brilliant in college.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it done in the NFL. All right, Omar, thank you.
I got it.
Omar Kelly there from the Sun Sentinel. There is some interesting news coming out via Twitter. Olivier Vernon taking kind of a shot at Ryan Tannehill.
I saw it.
Yeah, all right. So I'll tell everybody what's going on there when we come back.
Radio.com.
Is this a throwback, Valero? It's a throwback Thursday.
It is a throwback Thursday, but you tease Olivier Vernon, and this song title's called Shots. So, Shots Fired by Olivier Vernon. It's a stretch.
He's talking about a different type of shot.
Yeah, but Shots. What other song I'm going to go with? Shots Fired, you know?
You're so bored.
Huh?
You're by the studio by yourself. Yeah, you're just so bored.
I think you're just salty about that Kiko comment I made earlier.
That was, I tell you, that goes on the Mount Rushmore of funny things that Valero has done.
Mount Rushmore
of Valero lines.
Well, he's about to get a Mount Rushmore of ass kicking when I get back to Florida.
Funny.
All loud.
Mount Rushmore of times you've been insulted, Valero yelling out Kiko Alonso before Omar was done asking the question, or I was done asking a question, on that Mount Rushmore, Mike Cuno calling you the old tugboat.
Oh, you know what's going to happen to Mike when I see him. Watch out, Mike.
Hey, the UFC returns to the BB&T Center on Saturday, April 27th. Don't miss this chance to see the world's best athletes compete in inside the hallowed octagon. It will be a night of fights that you won't soon forget. Main fight card and ticket information to be announced soon. And we have tickets to give away for that, Valero?
Yes, we do.
You want to do that right here, or you want to tease it a little bit?
Let's tease it a little bit, because that's what you want to do.
Maybe remind me at the end of the segment to give away these UFC tickets. Well, can you just try?
I can try my best. But you're going to do it before I remind you, and you're going to be like, you suck. I know.
I hope so. Here's the Olivier Vernon tweet. Who does Olivier – where did he get traded?
Browns.
The Browns.
Yeah.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald, he tweeted out a story, which is, Tannehill, we sort of get, but why is Robert Quinn still on the Dolphins roster? And I think what Adam Beasley is saying, Tannehill we sort of get because there might still be some trade value for him. Like, but anyway, he tweeted out, Tannehill we sort of get, but why is Robert Quinn still on the Dolphins roster? And Olivier Vernon retweeted that and wrote, sorry, sir, but what has Tannehill done compared to Robert Quinn, a solidified pass rusher that plays the right side? For the people that don't know, that's the best OTs on the offensive line. Don't disrespect Quinn like that, sir. They're in different boats.
Yes.
And then Mike Wallace, he tweeted at Olivier Vernon and said, LOL, they have the quiet man talking. It's real out here. With a whole bunch of smiley faces. And then Olivier Vernon tweets back at Mike Wallace, LOL, had enough, my brudda, B-R-A-D-A.
Brudda.
What are you saying?
We gone talk facts.
We're going to.
Gonna.
Yeah.
But he wrote, we gone.
Please stop. We gone talk facts.
We gone talk facts.
I can do this for you. I can translate.
It's like the
I can be the what is it? The lady in front of speeches,
the sign language.
Yeah. I'll be a sign language lady to slang terms like that.
Brudda. But I've seen like Flair was just texting me, Brudda, B-R-U-D-D-A. I've seen that. I never seen Brada. Brada.
Yeah, it's like bruh. Then there's bruh. Then there's bruh. There's different bras. There's
LOL.
Different motions pull out different, you know, vowels in
Had
your
enough,
bruh.
Enough, my Brady. Yeah. We gone talk facts.
Like when I talk to people, I'd be like, hey, good to see you, bro. B-R-O. Mm-hmm. But when I talk to my dudes, it's B-R-U-H. Brah.
But where's Brada?
I don't use the Brada. But that's his brah.
Brada. But all I would say is this, and I think Omar Kelly kind of wrapped it up in the last segment. Nobody wants Ryan Tannehill. Nobody wants him. So when I asked you, and I hear, you know, here come all the Tannehill texters, oh, picking on him. I'm not picking on him. He gave you 7 years of service. But after 7 years, he started, you know, six out of those 7 years, 1 year due to injury, he didn't. Nobody wants him. Isn't that a bust?
And it's not as damning as I think. Your presentation is more damning.
He's still fairly young. He's got all the experience that you could ever get from a starter.
If Tannehill's next year was $8 million, teams would be looking into him.
Well, okay.
The Dolphins, I would say, made a bad contract with Tannehill
okay.
that he's not living up to. And not to be honest, he's not worth $18 million a year.
No. And when I say nobody wants him, I agree with you. On a trade, nobody wants him. I'm talking about if the Dolphins release him and they can sign him for whatever they want, I don't think anyone's going to want him, Brada.
Brada. Yes, they would.
Brada, listen to me.
He's going to be a top three backup in the NFL next season. Guaranteed, I'll bet any amount of money on it.
No way.
Backup? I'm not talking about the backup, Hawk.
Nope. When you say backup. Top three, you're talking about top three.
I'm talking about how like.
Like when you look at the 32 teams, you'll say that's the.
One of the best backups in the league.
I don't think so.
Because then he's going to be where he was for years. Now think about it. We'll admit he's a top 20 quarterback, right? He's a top. Well, he has been. Numbers and all say it. He has been a top quarter. Now he's going to be in the low 30s. He's going to be – because he's a backup now, so there's 32 starters. He's going to be 35, 36, 37, where we've seen him be a top 20 guy. He would be one of the best backups, and that's where he sits. But at $18 million, he wouldn't be there.
No, understood.
Olivier Vernon wasn't taking a shot at Tannehill. Olivier Vernon was saying Robert Quinn is 10 times better at defensive end than Tannehill
gotcha.
As a quarterback.
Gotcha. And he said, don't put them in the same boat.
And
like he's telling you, don't put Tannehill in any kind of successful boat. He's not successful. And you know why Mike Wallace chimed in.
Oh, Mike Wallace can't stand Tannehill.
Cannot stand Tannehill.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's been waiting for anyone to say, hey, look, this guy's bad. Finally, Brad Dad checked in.
Brad Dad. I think Mike Wallace was taking a shot at Tannehill. I think Olivier Vernon was showing some love to
Absolutely.
Quinn.
I think he was showing love to Quinn, but also saying, by the way, like, Tannehill, not even in that conversation, so don't even do that. Mike Wallace jumped in for a totally different reason. I'm with you there.
And I'm not even trying to defend Tannehill. And I'm not even, you know, I've said it. I think it's a total mistake if the Dolphins go into next year with Tannehill. I don't believe Omar Kelly just said he doesn't think so. Nobody we've talked to said Tannehill's going to play for the Dolphins next year. And I think that's correct. The 7 years you've put in, the number of head coaches, number of OCs, number of quarterback coaches, I'm right there with you. But when people act like Tannehill is, and this we get into a lot, act like he's Ryan Leaf or act like he's Matt Flynn or some of these guys, he's not that. And I'll argue with that all day. He is nowhere close to this bust, this Jamarcus Russell that people try to paint as Ryan Tannehill. Now, I was a Tannehill lover. I was the lead of the Tannehill bandwagon for years. I pulled back off that. His play easily helped me pull back off that with his play after injury.
It was hard after 7 years to continue on.
And especially coming back off that knee that last season, he didn't break through. I thought he'd really, catapult through that ceiling that he's hit. He never did it. But to act like this man is lost, bust, not going to be a legit, you know, piece of an NFL team next year, that's why I came out and said, if you know he was a top 20 guy for the last 6 years he played, and I don't think many people argue that. Top 20 is not that impressive. Now you think he's not going to be a top 35
guy? Don't say top 20. Because he's been a top 20 quarterback. Okay, but when you say top 20, that includes 1 through 10. So
yes.
why don't you say he was the 10th to 20th best quarterback in the NFL. By saying top 20, you're throwing me off a little, Breda.
You got to stop that. I can't make a point when you call me Breda. When
you say,
when those lists come out and we make the top 100 radio shows in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
We're a part of Howard Stern as well.
Right, but we should really be like, 70 to 80.
But they don't do it that way. They say you're top 100. You're the top 100. What about the NFL top 100 players of the last season? They don't say top 90 to 100. Oh, and near the top 40 to 60. They say the top 100, they go from 100 and they go count down to number 1. If you go from 20 over the last 7 seasons or 6 seasons minus his injured season, if you go quarterbacks, top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL since Tannehill's been in the NFL, he would make that list. That's my only point. I want people to come to understand that. If you go top 20 quarterbacks since, what was he drafted, 2012? Wasn't it 12 when he – Since 12, if you do top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL, Ryan Tannehill will make every single one of those lists.
Valero, should we do the giveaway, Breda?
You see what I mean, man? You always – I was just going to remind you.
UFC returns to the BB&T Center Saturday, April 27th. Don't miss this chance to see the world's best athletes compete inside the hallowed octagon. Going to be a night of fights that you won't soon forget. Main fight card and ticket info is going to be announced soon, but we've got a pair of tickets to give away right now for caller 5 on the contest line. 1-800-227-0560. That number again, 1-800-227-0560.
Radio.com.
That's me walking all over Dallas, man. This is like why we're Thelma and Louise.
We're not Thelma and Louise.
All right, give me the answer then. Who are we? Traveling together. We had a caper last night at Whataburger.
What? A caper?
We were at a caper. It was like a caper.
No, we just went to grab something to eat after the flight.
I don't know. I feel like it was some sort of caper. We were out there. And so are we Thelma and Louise? Yogi and Boo Boo, Peaches and Herb, Crockett and Tubbs, Starsky and Hutch, Sam and Pat,
Sertan,
Lockdown,
and Madison,
MJ and Scottie Pippen, Turner and Hooch, Kid and Play, Bob Birchtold and Bob Broberg.
That's the winner, man.
I'm you think that's close it, Valero? Bob
yeah.
And Bob.
You think B and Broberg?
Yep, B and Broberg.
To be Brian, honest.
Which one are you?
I'm Yogi. I'm going with Yogi and Boo Boo.
Yogi and Boo Boo.
Because they really had no goal. They just kind of walked around talking to people.
You didn't think that we had like a caper going on?
We didn't have anything
night?
Going on, Hawk. We were just hanging out.
We went to Whataburger. We experienced it. Then we went to that 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Picked up some waters.
I got some gummy bears.
I got some Mike and Ike's.
We didn't know what was going
to
happen.
We're actually very, very similar to Yogi and Boo Boo.
Like Thelma and Louise.
No, they were running from people. They had like a goal.
They were?
We're walking.
I never saw the movie.
We're just walking around eating. Kind of like Yogi and Boo Boo.
Actually,
hey, Boo Boo, do you want to get a picnic basket?
Yeah, you're out. You know what? You're right.
I
want my next picnic basket.
Your picnic basket.
Picnic basket. That's the way Yogi used to say it.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I'm you don't, Bob and Bob Broberg. I ain't Broberg in this.
Valero, you don't know Yogi and Boo Boo, do you?
I don't know them. I don't know Thelma and Louise. I didn't know half the names you said.
Thelma and Louise? You think it's a couple of vatos?
Thelma and Louise? I don't know who that is.
Hey, Thelma and Louise. A couple of vatos walking through Dallas.
Louise.
Is Thelma from Scooby-Doo?
Louise. No. Thelma and Louise is a movie. What about Yogi and Boo Boo? You don't know Yogi Bear?
Yogi Berra.
No, but do you know Yogi Bear?
No.
Really?
Where would I know that from?
I don't know.
Cartoon.
Cartoon.
I didn't watch many cartoons growing up.
Yogi and Boo Boo? Honestly,
I know SpongeBob. I don't know Yogi and Boo Boo.
But like Tom and Jerry, that cartoon, like the.
Yeah, you got to know
that. That was just a little bit young for me. I remember, like, Cat Dog.
Cat dog.
Cat dog. Did you just put cat dog in the same conversation as Tom and Jerry, like one of the top cartoons of all time?
I've never seen it, so I can't say it's a top cartoon of all time.
I don't know what's happening
here. No, because he's just, that's him, because my kids watch Tom and Jerry right now.
That's because you make them watch Tom and Jerry.
I don't make them. They stop
on
the channel.
No, but they've redone it. Yeah. There's new Tom and Jerry's.
I never
watched
it.
Did you have cable?
Yes, I had cable.
Lie.
You've never heard of Thermos and Luis?
Thermos?
So we're coming to you live from AT&T Stadium in Dallas, where this Saturday, a thrilling matchup between two consensus top pound-for-pound fighters, welterweight world champion Errol Spence and four-division world champion Mikey Garcia will take place. Don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year, of the world, Saturday night. Live on pay-per-view. We're here at AT&T Stadium, courtesy of our friends at Fox Pay-Per-View.
63-0 combined between the two of them.
Is that so? I didn't realize
63-0. Neither have lost a fight. This is a big fight. The more we learn about it, the more people we talk to off air and on.
It's a big fight.
Huge fight. And as we see, what did he say? We had 30,000 tickets sold already.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a huge fight.
Because think about that. Like, how many does how many seats does MGM hold for a fight? Like, I don't think it's more than 20,000.
No, I think it's eight, between 15 and 20.
So to have already sold 30,000 tickets for this fight, just to watch it live, forget about how much you're going to see on pay-per-view. This is a
17,000 at MGM.
At MGM. So it's already doubled in sales. That's pretty crazy, man.
That's wild, man.
You have anything here at AT&T Stadium, it's going to be a big event.
Yeah, they say Errol Spence Jr. is the future of boxing. As we talk to a number of people, they're like, he's legit. So I'm excited to watch it.
Well, we will be on the lookout while we're here in Dallas for Funky Buddha. They don't have that in Dallas, do they?
I was looking for it last night, man. I don't know. I might have to get around.
You should text Casey and Ryan and see if they have Funky Buddha in Dallas. I don't think they do yet.
Well, I'm not drinking any beer. They don't.
They should. They should. They should have it.
You can't drink an IPA if it's not a hop gun. Everybody knows that.
Just because we're in Dallas doesn't mean that y'all can't go to Funky Buddha Brewery in Oakland Park. Like, don't have to do what we do because you're not with us.
That's why I can't go to these burger places and all just all happy because I've tasted the Funky Buddha Bison Burger. I've eaten the Funky Buddha wings. Funky Buddha set my bar pretty high.
Actually, as much as I tell you, I love that burger at Whataburger, the yuca fries at Funky Buddha Brewery still are top notch to me.
Ask them, do they have yuca fries next time you go?
In fact, we will open up the Funky Buddha Brewery happy hour at 5:00, as we always do. Again, we're live in Dallas. Huge pay-per-view on Saturday night. AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Spence Jr. versus Garcia. Saturday, 9:00 our time in South Florida. You could order that pay-per-view right now. Funky Buddha Brewery happy hour is next. Radio.com.
Radio.com. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.